Jordan-Hare Stadium for tonight's game.
It's the Wishbone Podcast, your source for Auburn football discussion and commentary. Now, here are your hosts, Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer.
Hello and welcome to the Wishbone Podcast, brought to you in association with the WarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, we are back after 2 weeks, and I've got to first tell the listeners that we are back using our old software again, so hopefully we'll sound a good bit better than we sounded on our last episode. I was not at all pleased with the audio quality, and we just spent the last 30 minutes ripping it all out and reinstalling the good stuff, which hopefully now will work, and so hopefully we'll sound better. I think that probably tonight we need to start by saying that we are thinking of the folks down in Alabama around Auburn and my hometown, Sylacauga, and I guess I'm not sure if it stretches all the way over to your folks are down in Auburn now, aren't they?
They are.
So
they are in Auburn.
Yeah, so there's bad weather down there tonight, and I've been seeing a few reports coming through on the Auburn Yahoo group, and we'll be thinking of you folks. And have you heard anything from your parents as far as how that goes?
No, not tonight, but I know there's bad weather down there and across Alabama and in Mississippi too, so be careful.
Yeah, some of it came through yesterday up here, and we were, as I was riding with my friend from nearby here back from the Windy City Pulp Con, and we were really concerned we were going to hit the worst of it coming down the interstate from Chicago, but we managed to go right down the middle pretty much, and it was on both sides of us, so that was kind of scary. But I have a few announcements to throw in real quick, because I very well I've been up to some various things. In much less consequential news than the storms, obviously. Weekend before this past one, I was down in Montgomery, went down for the Alabama Book Festival, or the Alabama Literary Festival. I can't remember which one it is. And that went really well. Got to speak to a nice little crowd of folks that actually didn't go to A-Day. It was amazing. And several of them had their Auburn gear on and sold the bookstore. The Capital Books from Montgomery was set up and sold copies of all the various authors' books. And they sold quite a few copies of Decades. And they were very kind. And the folks from the festival were very nice. I was the only, I think, academic-related speaker there who wasn't wearing like a tweed smoking jacket or something with the elbow pads. You had all these older guys with beards and the plaid sport coats, you know, and then I'm there in my bright orange Gus Malzahn polo shirt. And I told him, well, I figured it was appropriate for what I was talking about. I wasn't there to talk about the Berlin conflict of the Cold War, and I wasn't there to talk about the causes of the Civil War. I was there to talk about Auburn football, and that's what I talked about. So, but that went really well. I took the whole family down there. We got to go by and see the Capitol building, which I hadn't seen since I was a kid. We got to go and let the kids see the Martin Luther King's church, Dexter Avenue Baptist Church, which was cool. My wife had never been down there and seen that. She was very excited, and so it was just a really good trip. And then, of course, it's really funny because it was sort of an outdoor event with some tents, but the place where you signed books for the customers was totally open air, tables out in like this little, like a little garden area. And so I signed the last person's book and rain started falling. Mm. So is the second that the last person in my line was done, we jumped up, ran to the car and took off for Auburn. And we got there like 5 minutes into A-Day. So we really didn't miss hardly any of it.
Wow.
So when we get in a little while to talking about A-Day, I was there for most all of it and can give you some firsthand observations. Although I haven't seen it on television, so maybe you know some stuff that I don't know and vice versa. So
okay.
The only other announcement real quick is because I'd mentioned it last time. I did not, in fact, win the Pulp Factory Award for Novel of the Year for Legion 1, Lords of Fire. I'm very disappointed. But on the other hand, I lost to Will Murray's new Doc Savage novel where Doc Savage meets King Kong. I mean, if you've got to lose.
Sure.
Doc Savage meeting King Kong is not a bad thing. And the word on the street is that it was a very, very close vote and that I finished second. So I feel pretty good. So it was also cool because I got to meet at that convention. I got to meet the artist Mark Williams, who did the cover art for the new editions of the trilogy, so of the series. So and he signed all of the hardcovers too. So anyway, that was just a really cool thing. We got a message this week from some listeners. You may recall that I had mentioned last time that we had some celebrity listeners, which is awesome. And I got an email from a Florida legislator. He can tweet me if he wants me to name his name, who said that he and two other Florida legislators also listen to the show. So that's really cool. We've got all sorts of folks in high and mighty positions that so now that we have even more responsibility to sound like we know what we're talking about here, huh?
That's fun. It's funny. I work with the Virginia legislators a lot, and it's hard for me to imagine them listening to this show. But
well, but there's probably, I guess there's more Auburn folks in North Florida probably than there are in Virginia, maybe. So that's pretty darn cool. All right. So first up tonight, I believe we had on the docket to talk about the new SEC schedule discussion. What on earth do you make of what they've been doing with this?
Well, they've been weighing this thing for a while, about 8 games versus 9 games, and keep the cross-division permanent rivalries or do away with it or what they were going to do. And what they came down with yesterday was we're going to keep the 8 games. We're going to keep the one permanent opponent. You're going to have the one rotating opponent, but they're going to add this requirement that every SEC team has to play a major conference non-conference game every single year.
All right. So let's just reset this right here. So LSU's argument was our schedule is too hard, and the SEC's response is we're keeping exactly like it is, and you have to schedule a major BCS opponent.
Yeah, but that
just hilarious.
But that extra requirement, this is the thing, the extra requirement doesn't only impact like 2 or 3 schools. I mean, everybody else is playing major conference opponents. The only schools that were impacted this year, I think, were Ole Miss and Mississippi State, I believe, and maybe Texas A&M.
Well, it strikes me as if my little girl said, I don't want to eat this broccoli, and so I handed her another plate of broccoli and some asparagus.
You're talking about from the LSU perspective.
From the LSU perspective, yeah. They complain, we don't want to play Florida.
Well, hold the LSU thought. We're not there
yet. I've got lots to say about that.
Yeah. There's about 10 things we got to get to before we talk about their whining. So,
okay, all right.
But, I mean, so the biggest thing was, by staying with this where it is, 8 games, the good for Auburn is we kept the Georgia game. That's important. You know, the bad is – we're down to one, still with one rotating opponent, so it's going to take forever, for example, for Auburn to play Missouri in a home and away, which you would probably want.
Yes, the 9-game thing is what I wanted.
And we've also locked in Georgia and Alabama in the same year on the home and away thing, and we're going to talk about that. And the 9-game thing a nothing issue. I mean, the Big Ten and the Pac-10 are both going to 9 games. Mm-hmm. And I think there's all this talk about the coach, Saban was for it, other people were against it. I think the biggest reason that they ended up voting against it was about money, because they wanted the TV contract's going to be the same. What they wanted was more home games because they sell the tickets and the individual schools keep the money from that ticket revenue. You know, they have you play some Jacksonville State or whoever at home. The big school, the SEC school, keeps the money and just pays the other school whatever the payout is, and they make a lot of money on those kind of home games. We're not going to get extra money from ESPN if everybody plays, a bunch of extra non-conference games. So
yeah,
that was the other. I think that's the real reason behind it. To me, I don't think there's a football reason. But I was saying, well, they wanted to play 8 games because it was, lessens the chance that they would knock each other off or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about these things. Kind of, we had a couple of things we got to talk through here. The first is the Georgia and Alabama games both being in the same year, home and away. How do you feel about that?
Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. The whole idea is that we've always had one in one year and one in the other. It affects season ticket sales. It affects how well the team does in some years. It means that we will end the season with a big rival every season at home, either way. And, you know, this past year was what it was. But this coming season, the last game will be like Samford or something.
Mm-hmm. Whoever just, the non-conference game is in between them.
Between them, yeah. It's just weird. That's going to be, you know, senior day or whatever. Or, I mean, it's just I have always been happy that we used to play, you know, in the old days we would play like LSU and Georgia at home one year and Florida and Alabama at home the other. And it was a nice division. And I've just been aggravated that we just keep getting farther and farther away from how the schedule used to set up, you know, nicely as it did, even though we used to play a really hard schedule.
Well, but now think about this. This is what I was thinking about today, about the season ticket issue and about what you're saying here. Here's the two – there's two groups of teams we play alternating, okay? So in one year, we're going to play these teams at home. Georgia, Alabama, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and –
yeah, there's maybe somebody else.
No, there's somebody else.
Maybe the out of conference.
No, that's it. It's Georgia, Alabama, Ole Miss, Mississippi State at home because we were playing eight conference games. And the other year, we'll play Texas A&M, LSU, Arkansas, and our rotating Eastern opponent,
which is like Tennessee, South Carolina.
Right. This coming year is South Carolina. So in the year when we don't have Georgia and Alabama at home, we get both LSU and Texas A&M at home.
Yeah, but
– and Arkansas, which I think that's not bad. And another school from the East, which could be Florida or Tennessee or South Carolina, whoever.
I will agree that it's certainly adding Texas A&M the year that's not the Alabama-Georgia home makes a big difference. Because that gives us one more regular Western rival now, allegedly, you know, to have to play in that year. Mm-hmm. But I would also stipulate that playing LSU and Texas A&M at home combined is not as big as Georgia or Alabama at home.
No, I understand that.
So that's part of why I'm – in other words, if I thought that our rivalry with LSU, Texas A&M, Georgia, and Alabama were all roughly equal, then you can do two and two however you like. But it's not. And putting the two big ones together and the two small ones together just kind of irks me a whole lot. But, you know.
Well, let's keep going here. Do you think about the – keeping the Georgia game and having the one rotating game? And I think we've pretty much expressed how we feel about that.
Yeah, everything else aside, you got to keep the Georgia game. I mean, the fact that if we ever get them in Atlanta, which, by the way, let me throw this in here while you mention that. I was doing the little calculating. There are three prominent semi-rivalries in the SEC east to west that have never faced each other in 20-plus years of the SEC championship game. And that is Auburn, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, and Florida, LSU. None of those three have ever played each other in Atlanta. Is it a coincidence that those three are permanent rivals?
No.
So you know what I'm saying? One of them knocks the other one out of contention during the regular season because they play every year. So they don't get to come back around and have a rematch.
It could have happened in 93, right?
Florida was the East team, and it would have
been us. Yeah, it would have been us. So it could have happened.
Well, no, that would have been Auburn and Florida. We played Florida twice.
Oh.
Or at least once, just once.
Now think about Georgia.
It would have happened in 2004 if Georgia hadn't lost to Tennessee.
That's right.
Because we beat Georgia at home, that would have been their only loss.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure LSU and Florida have had a couple of years where they would have had a rematch if not one of them losing one other game. Because there was a couple of years there where the LSU-Florida game pretty much, you know, was going to show who's going to win the conference.
Sure.
And as for Alabama-Tennessee, it's generally tended to be either one was up and the other was down or vice versa. There haven't been that many years that Alabama and Tennessee were both the top team at the same time in their divisions. But that being said, I do think that playing each other every year has tended to it's tended to knock one of them down in those three. So I guess my argument then is actually is that it does hurt a little bit getting to the championship game when you've got a permanent rival like that. I don't know. It's just.
All right. Well, that's coming to the LSU argument. We'll get there in a minute. What do you think about this requirement to play a big conference team every year?
I like that. I mean, we've sort of more or less been doing that. My question there is, I mean, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we played 11 regular season games. They added 12, and the unofficial reason was it was be during years that there was an extra week, and you'd use it to play a major big conference team. Remember, because we played USC.
That's right.
Alabama played Oklahoma and UCLA. We played Syracuse, you know. So that was kind of the idea. So I'm like, well, if that's the case, geez, let's just try to catch up to the NFL and just add another game. Let's play 13 regular season games and add one.
Good gosh. Oh, we can't do that.
I know. So, I like the idea of playing exciting teams, but we've sort of been, you know, we played Washington State. We're playing Kansas State.
We're playing 2015. We're playing Louisville.
Yeah. So we're already doing that. So that's fine. I wonder if, I guess if you have one of those, it's not a preseason game anymore, but the thing in Atlanta that's sort of analogous to the old kickoff classic, I guess counts.
It does, because that's where we're playing Louisville.
Right. No, yeah. So I'm saying, I guess that counts when we went to pick up another one.
No. It counts.
Because, you know, the old days when you played a game like that, it was an extra game.
Right. You played an 11-game schedule, and that was your 12th game.
Right.
But the NCAA did away with that exemption of the extra game.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the question for you, and a couple of people asked us this on Twitter, which is, you know, Louisville, we have schedule. We don't have any non-conference teams on the schedule in 2016, 2017. Who, now that we have this requirement and we have to play somebody from one of the big conferences, who do you want to play? Who do you want to get us home and home with? We've talked about this a little bit before, but
yeah.
I'm interested to hear your thoughts today about it.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess it really would just be there's two kinds. There's the interesting, not a big name, but it would be interesting if. And Kansas State is like that. Washington State was like that. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not gigantic name brands, but it's been kind of fun to play them. There's a third. There's like rivalries that need to be settled from years ago. Playing Syracuse was that. We weren't dying to play Syracuse, except that, yeah, we kind of were after that Sugar Bowl, you know. So that was cool to get to settle things. But the other would be like the big names. We haven't really played Oklahoma. I'd like to get Oklahoma into Jordan-Hare.
Sure.
We haven't played Notre Dame. I'd like to get Notre Dame into Jordan-Hare. But everybody would. There's Pac-12 teams. How'd you like a home and home with Oregon?
I'd love that.
See? So what do you think? What's on which ones?
I'd like to play those. I'd like to have some other Big Ten teams come. Let's do Penn State or Michigan or Ohio State, some of those kind of schools. That'd be fun.
I guess I just find the Big Ten so boring that I start falling asleep when you say Penn State, Michigan.
No, but I'm also thinking about we would kill them. You know, that's the other part of my scenario.
We say that, but the last decade's run didn't work out so well for any of the SEC teams. That just reminded me that as soon as the announcement came out that you must play a non-conference BCS conference team, somebody immediately said Alabama's about to develop a heated rivalry with Indiana.
No, the best part was somebody on Twitter, I can't remember who it was, made a comment like that, and then the Indiana sports information director posted their phone number online. It said, "Call us, we're ready.
We're ready to come." Oh man, yeah, that heated rivalry. I know. Wait, what about Purdue? That's kind of like the Auburn of the Big Ten, aren't they?
They suck. Oh my gosh. We might as well play, you know, Appalachian State or somebody. Purdue is terrible right now. Yeah. What about you want to play Texas again?
We do have a history of playing Texas. We played Texas a lot.
I mean, would you rather play them, or would you rather play, either play like Oklahoma or Oklahoma State?
Oh, I want to play Oklahoma. I'd like to see Auburn Oklahoma play, just because I think the last time Auburn Oklahoma played was either before I was born or just very shortly thereafter, and I had no clue, in like a Blue Bonnet Bowl or something like that. So yeah, Auburn used to play in the Blue Bonnet Bowl a lot. Don't laugh. Mm-hmm. So, I think Oklahoma is probably number one on my list, just because we haven't played them in decades, and it's, you know, a perennial big name, and it would be an interesting matchup too.
I'm kind of biased. I'd like to get Virginia Tech too. That'd be fun.
Yeah, they're okay. Virginia Tech to me is like a Big Ten team in the ACC. They're like a Big Ten team that got lost and ended up on the East Coast, and they're like, how did we get over here? So,
all right, so what do you think about the LSU angle of this, the permanent opponent? Gosh. Our permanent opponent is too tough discussion.
LSU.
Wait, first, this is my opinion about LSU. Okay.
Well, my tweet today, yeah, very good. That sounded just like their athletic director. LSU, my tweet today was, LSU, we sure wish we didn't have to play Florida every year. Wah. Auburn, we sure wish we could get back to playing Florida every year. I mean,
Florida doesn't want any part of us.
LSU, oh, no kidding. LSU is crying, and Les Miles today had quotes about how horrible and mistreated they were in the conference. What a joke. LSU's upset because they have to play Florida every year, even when Florida sucks. I mean, come on. We used to have an amen corner of Florida, Florida State, Georgia, and Alabama in four or five consecutive weeks, with Tennessee earlier in the year and occasionally rotating LSU in there. And we never cried a bit. You know when we cried? When we had to give up one of those. That's when we cried, when we had to stop playing a schedule like that. They need to get a grip.
It's so what? This is the other part of that kind of stuff. It's very cyclical. It's very today. I mean, Florida sucked last year.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you got to play a team that went 4-8 and couldn't beat Georgia Southern. Why are you whining about that?
I know.
Muschamp might get fired this year. I mean, I'm not sure their offense is going to be dramatically better. So,
Will Muschamp update. Ron Zook was fired after a 3-year record of 33-15. Will Muschamp has a 3-year record of 32-16.
There you go.
I think that's right. I know that it's one less win and one more loss than Zook had. So why do you keep Muschamp around if he's actually performing worse than Ron Zook in the same period of time? Is it just because you feel like Muschamp has potential and you knew in your heart of hearts all along that Zook was a mistake and you're waiting
to
cut the cord, pull the trigger? Okay, that's what I thought.
Yes to both.
Okay.
Although I think a lot of Florida fans, you know, don't think Muschamp has potential anymore. They think he's kind of doing what he's going to do. So
that's weird.
All right. so that's the schedule is what it is. But the other thing I thought about, two things. One is one guy on Twitter that, and we talked about his stuff before, is a guy named War Room Eagle that wrote a really interesting SEC schedule proposal I thought was great. And his proposal was that there should be 3 permanent opponents and 5 rotating opponents for every ACC team. Do away with the divisions. And so Auburn would have like Alabama, Georgia, and Mississippi State, for example, every single year.
That would make sense.
And then you'd play 5 teams 1 year, 5 teams the next year, and then you'd rotate and get 5 whole new teams. So you play every single team in the conference home and home over a 4-year period.
Over a two-year period.
Well, but I mean...
Over a two-year period.
Five at home 1 year, 5, you know what I'm saying? 5 on the road. So those 5 teams you play at home and on the road over a 2-year period. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Anyhow, so you eventually over 4 years you play every single team in the conference at home and away. And it wouldn't work because the NCAA says you have to have divisions in order to have a conference championship game.
Exactly.
And it's kind of radical thinking, but I thought it was brilliant because then you get to play everybody. And that's what we want. If it takes away all this my schedule's unfair stuff because you're playing everybody in the conference over a relatively short period.
Yeah, I had a long conversation, real longish, this afternoon about that, where somebody was saying, you know, this, they pointed me to it, and it was presented as, this will have no impact, but will let you do all these great things with no negative impact, whatever. With no issues. That was it. Say with no issues. And I said, well, it does have an issue, which is that there's no divisions. And, you know, they're like, yeah, but it does all this great stuff. I'm like, well, yeah. And I'm not saying I disagree. I don't dislike that idea. You know, I'm, you know, the more we get to play the different teams, the better, as far as I'm concerned. I just think that it does have issues, and you just named one of them, which is it would be incompatible with the current way that the rules are set up for having a conference championship game. So, but yeah, if they played in it at Columbia, Missouri every like you say, every 4 years, then heck yeah.
That's right. All right. Here's today's fun fact. Did you know they've already set the spread for Auburn, Arkansas, and Auburn is a 20.5-point favorite?
Well, I did hear that there were some early lines out because for the first weekend, and it's just kind of an early thing. But I think what I heard was about how the odds of winning the national championship, because Auburn was not listed in the first tier of teams, and the rationale given was that we were lucky last year, and so whether we're as good as we were last year or not, we won't be as lucky, and so we cannot be considered a first tier challenger. And I think that's a joke. I'm so sick of hearing this. We didn't hear it for a while, you know, it died out for a while, and now here it comes back. Luck. I think being 28-28 with Alabama 1 second ago is not luck.
I think it's easy for people to say that right now because of the way those games ended. And I think the only way to take that away is to go beat everybody in the head with a shovel next season.
Yes.
And I think Auburn's offense is going to be so much better than everybody else in the SEC that it's not going to be close in a lot of those games. And there's not going to be any of this discussion.
Well, and you know, as far as Georgia goes, you know, yes, bouncing a pass off of the defenders into Ricardo Lewis's hands, that's luck, but it's also stupidity on the part of the Georgia defenders. And
it's luck that they were freaking in the game. We should have blown them out of the stadium.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Is we were beating the ever-loving snot out of Georgia for 3.5 quarters, and the luck was that we ran into the runner on like 3rd and 2 and lost yards and had to punt when we were driving the ball down the field and going to score and put it out of reach.
That's right.
So I've watched that game like 3 times now, and believe me, we had quite a bit of bad luck that gave Georgia any chance to even be in that game, including when their quarterback Murray didn't even score and was given a free touchdown. Yeah, there was a bunch of luck, and it wasn't all our good luck by any means. It just makes me annoyed. I don't know if we're going to have time tonight, because we're going to have like an abbreviated show. We might have to come back hard 2 weeks with another big show. But let's just note this down for 2 weeks, John. Go ahead and put this on the agenda. I want to go position by position last year's team versus this year and say better, the same, worse.
Okay.
All right. Improved, not improved, you know, whatever. Let's do that.
All right. I like it.
All right. Good.
All right. A-Day, you were there. You saw it in person. What do you think? What stood out to you?
Well, good crowd. It was the number one attendance of any game that charged any money. We paid $5 each to get in. We got there 5 minutes in the first quarter, and we could barely find a seat in the bowl. We thought we were going to have to go up into the deck. Yeah. And that was within the horrible, you know, the weather was not good. We were going to go down on the field and meet the players and let my little girl meet Aubie and get his, you know, little signature and everything. Mm-hmm. And it started pouring down rain as soon as the game ended. We brought it from Montgomery with us, apparently. So, but as far as the game goes, now, in the first quarter, I was getting a little antsy because we were throwing the ball so much, and it seemed like they were all sailing out of bounds. Was that just the wind? Because it was a pretty gusty, rainy, yucky day, and it seemed like neither Marshall nor Jeremy Johnson, from what we were seeing, was having a great passing day. What were your impressions on that?
Well, Jeremy Johnson did not have a good day at all. I mean, he really didn't look good. Some of that was the defense, some of that was him. He just had an off day. But, I mean, Marshall, you know, I thought looked good. He sailed some out of bounds at the beginning, and he settled down, and then he was fine after that. So,
well, I'll tell you what had a big impression on me, though, in a good way. Our two big receivers,
yep.
Williams and Coates. Good Lord. I mean, Williams was making great catches, and Coates made that one-handed fade catch right in front of us in that corner. And I was like standing up and going, no! Because that was amazing. They showed it about three times on the screen, too.
That was a great play.
Yeah. So it's kind of like it's the maybe Dakiel Williams is bringing out maybe a little bit of the best of Coates, you know?
Well, I think it's – I mean, he's forcing all the receivers to step up their game. I think, you know, Marshall threw the ball well, and a lot of the intermediate routes across the middle, he was really hitting them. And I think it's going to open up the whole offense. I really do.
And you know who had a good game?
Who?
Trevon Reed.
He did play defense.
Yes. How about
he
that?
He was really, really did a good job.
Yeah.
He seemed very natural.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know. And it's funny because I had just read an interview with him like the day before where he was saying how challenging it was. It was harder than he thought it was going to be and everything. And then he goes out there and does pretty well. So now, you know, there's A-Day heroes and then there's the actual season. But still, I mean, that gives us some hope because the secondary, how many years has it been since we felt like we had a really deep secondary? I mean, you know, we have a good 10. Yeah, I mean,
2004.
Usually we have pretty decent guys out there, but also it seems like we're hanging on by our fingernails sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And I think Derek Moncrief had a good game. He's another junior college guy. I think he played really well at safety. He's kind of a big physical safety, and he made some plays. And I think he's going to be good. We got him back there with Whitehead, and then 3Z playing the star position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think. So Holsey's coming back too. You may play him at safety, or you may switch him over to corner. So yeah. I mean, we could even have a lot of depth at corner if he does that.
That's
so
amazing.
I feel pretty good about the depth in the secondary after that game.
Well, go ahead.
The other thing that really stood out to me was freaking Corey Grant.
Looked
faster.
Corey Grant was amazing, man.
He looked faster than last year. He really did.
Yeah, well, they timed him like a hand-timed, of course, so it's going to vary. But they timed both him and Coates at like a 4.18 or something. Now, you know, electronically it'd be a little higher probably, but that's still, dang, man, that's like Bo. Alexander Wright.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You could tell a couple of those runs how much faster he was than every other player in the field. It was very impressive.
Oh, yeah.
And that offense, getting him the ball in space on the edge, he's going to be a real weapon.
Man, I can't. I'm looking forward to seeing our offense this fall. I know that's shocking to hear, but I'm really looking forward to seeing it. The other two positions were the kickers. I was really wanting to evaluate how the kickers looked because it's, you know, been a while. We've like we've talked about last week. We have been, as they say, blessed with very reliable kicking for a long time now, and having to change to two rookies was a little nerve wracking, but they're both, you know, top of the line, top in the country, whatever. And that the missed extra point, honestly, I was watching it from almost field level at the other end, and it looked like he just kind of ran up and slipped down or something. As he was going through the motions of kicking it, I was thinking, it looks like he's sliding into home rather than kicking the ball. It was just a weird motion. So I think maybe he just was awkward or something. I don't think we should read a whole lot into that. On the other hand, he nailed like a 50-yard field goal, didn't he?
I did see that. It was a good kick.
Yeah. So that gave me a little hope. I hope that we can continue to ignore the kickers until we need them, like we've kind of gotten spoiled to being able to do.
I thought the other thing, the first team defense played well. I thought the defensive line was good, and I thought the linebackers had a good game. I thought they were, you know, tackling well and throwing the ball well. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of busted assignments, but I thought it was a very impressive performance by them. You didn't like to see the one running back get hurt.
Oh yeah, that was Barber. We never saw a second of him because that was before we got there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to see him play. You know, I think
right.
So you got to worry about that. I'm not sure what his situation is. If he's going to be back or not, but it's, you know, that was tough.
What exactly happened to him? I never have heard.
I mean, he got hit and it's an ankle thing, I think.
Oh, that's right. High ankle sprain.
Yeah. So, but I mean, that kind of thing lingers.
Yeah,
so,
it does.
Especially
it does.
For a big guy taking a lot of pounding like that. You're not sure if he's going to be ready for fall or not.
Well,
I hope so.
This may open the door for the freshmen coming in. I mean, you hate to play them, but you may have to. I mean,
well, I think Rock Thomas is going to play. I think he's that good. So, is there anything that like worried you coming out of A-Day? You're like, oh, I don't know.
Well, I'd hoped that the passing game would be further along, and obviously that's, you know, Gus is really going to want to emphasize that. I'm, you know, you couldn't do any of the read option type stuff, the zone read stuff. So, you know, we just have to kind of trust that it's going to look somewhere as good as last year. I mean, Trey Mason is impossible to replace the way he played, but we've certainly got the horses back there, depending on how healthy everybody is, so that you got to think that Nick can, you know, another year of practice that Nick can go out there and wheel and deal like he did last year. And if we can get that passing game elevated, man, I mean, I don't know. I guess I guess just hoping that the linebackers solidify. That's always seems to be the weakest link, really. So I don't know. What are your concerns?
I mean, you talk about positions that are concerned. I think it's linebacker. I think it's one I worry about. There's two young kickers. They got to step up and play well. Mm-hmm. But I mean, linebacker is the one where we have, you know, the performance has to get better. And you saw some things in the spring, and there's better depth and stuff. I mean, Kenny Flowers was freaking buried on the depth chart, and he was MVP of the day-to-day game.
You just never know, do you? Isn't that something?
So, I mean, you hope it's that kind of thing. But I, you know, we'll see.
Well, what about how this all affected recruiting? Do you think it had an impact?
Well, I think there was a lot of recruits there. It was a big recruiting weekend. They brought a lot of kids in, and a lot of kids committed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was Auburn's jumped up to number two, I believe, in overall rankings, which is amazing for that. Nick.
Before A-Day, we weren't even like on the chart. And after A-Day in the last week or so, we've gone all the way up to number two. That just is astonishing.
Well, but I mean, it's a long time until signing day.
Yeah.
But the important thing about this is the big impact you have in recruiting is a multi-year thing. It's not just they start when they're seniors. I mean, it starts long before that. And the biggest impact happens when they're juniors in high school. And so the guys that signed, you know, a couple months ago were juniors in high school when Auburn had the terrible year at the end of Chizik.
Yeah.
The guys who are committing now, you know, were juniors when Auburn won the SEC and went to the national championship game. Mm-hmm. So I expect Auburn to have, you know, a top five recruiting class in the whole country. I fully expect it to be the best recruiting class we've had in years because those guys were out there and they saw the excitement around last year's team and they were in the stands for those games. And I expect a lot of top players to commit.
So. There's got to be a buzz around this Auburn team, this coaching staff, this program that hadn't been there, you know, consistently. Oh, and that reminds me of something else I wanted to mention real quick. There have been other years where we've just came up short trying to win the national championship. And every one of those years, in the off season, there would be Auburn people, bless their hearts, they love Auburn, they're enthusiastic, they're maybe a little too over-enthusiastic, and they would say, well, you know, we're going to get them next year. Yeah, we'll win the national championship next year. I mean, we almost did this year, but we'll win it next year. But those are years like 1984, 1994, 2005, 2011, even though we did win it. And I would argue that in every one of those years, we knew we were going to drop off a little bit if we were honest.
Yes.
And so this is the first year in my life that we've had a just come up short year. And I honestly, legitimately believe that the next year we could actually match it, surpass it, do better. What do you think?
I think that's fair. I mean, you look at a lot of those other years and you know, there's a huge core group of seniors and special players that moved on.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we lost a couple of guys this year, but it wasn't the same.
No, it wasn't the same. I mean, and we keep the quarterback, which is a big thing. And we keep the coaching staff. I mean, it's just, I look at this team and when somebody says, well, yeah, we'll turn around and do it this year. I think, yeah, we could, you know, I never thought the 2005 team. I mean, I thought they could be good and they were, but you lost, you know, losing Campbell, losing Cadillac, losing Ronnie Brown, losing Carlos Rogers. You're not going to be as good the next
year. The guys we lost the defense, it was.
Oh, yeah. So, So overall, in terms of recruiting, you know, where do you think we stand right now then?
I think we're in great shape. I mean, we just took three of the best offensive linemen out of the state of Georgia. We got excellent players all over the place. We're going to be fine at recruiting. I think it's just a question more about the coaches, you know, decide. With this class, they're going to be approaching that, you know, pick who they want, because we got 12 or 13 guys now. There's not that many spaces left. So they have to be judicious with the commitments at this point.
A couple of things about that, about recruiting in Georgia. Did you see that there were a couple of factoids that came through that they said that this was like a particularly really good year for offensive linemen coming out of high school in Georgia? And Georgia, I can't remember the exact number, but I'm just going to make up some numbers that are very close and make the point, okay? That like of the 10 best coming out, you know, Georgia in a good year would get like 8 of them. And in a decent year, we get like 6 or 7. And it's something like out of the top 10, Georgia has like 3. And Auburn has like 3. And then like Clemson has 2. And Alabama has 1. And Florida State or something has 1. So like Georgia has like, is just like one of several that have a few. So, and Auburn has as many, you know, as they do. And so Georgia really, I mean, they're not having a good recruiting year, and I just wonder what the heck's going on. And here's the other thing about Georgia before I end this little thread. There was the player we got most recently. It was so funny how the AJC tried to spin this. So they were like, it's a big mystery. Where's he going to go, right? And they had him his quote, and his quote was, you know, like he's like, I'm deciding between Auburn and Clemson and Georgia. And he's like, well, the most important thing to me is that it feels like a family. You know, it's got to feel like a family. That's just by far the most important thing to me. And they're like, what do you think of Georgia? I mean, what do you think of Clemson? Oh, well, the coaches are pretty good, but it didn't feel like a family. Well, what did you think of Georgia? Well, Georgia's always been the team interested in me, but it always has been the team I'm interested in, but they weren't really interested in me. It doesn't feel like a family. What did you think of Auburn? Man, that place feels like a family. And then the writer's like, so which one will he pick? I was just cracking up. I'm like, wow, there's a mystery. So it was not really a shock when he, you know, committed to us the next day. I just thought that was so funny.
All right. You ready for some listener questions?
Fire them up.
All right. First question comes from James Jones. We pretty much already answered, but he wants to know, with the coming out of conference requirements in the schedule, who do you want to see in the schedule for 16?
Yeah. I think Oklahoma is my number one. And after that, maybe some interesting pack.
Notre Dame. I'm in for that now. That'd be fun.
I just don't want another ACC team. They're like our default, you know.
I hear you.
Sick of the ACC. If we ever play Clemson again, it's too soon. Not because I'm scared of them. I'm just sick of them.
Yeah.
Boring.
I'm with you. All right. Got a couple here from the Killer McCoy. His first question is, over or under 90 plays against Arkansas?
I think we're certainly going to try.
It'll be interesting to see how like the tempo we break out. Will we break out the high tempo early in the season next year?
Is he the coach on the hottest seat right now, relatively speaking?
In the SEC?
Yeah.
I think he has to be. I mean, I think, you know, he had a terrible year and things haven't really gone his way. And, you know, I think they'll genuinely be better, but I think there's just a huge gap between them and the top teams in the West. So
some guy the other day said the problem with Bielema is, or Bielema, whatever, is if you're the people in Wisconsin didn't like him personally, but at least he was winning. At Arkansas, he's a big jerk and he's losing. He said, you can be a big jerk if you're winning, but you can't be losing and be a big jerk. That just doesn't work.
All right. Our next question, he says, Killer McCoy says, who would you rather run behind, Heath Evans or Jay Prosh?
Oh, man. Heath was awesome, but I think Prosh is just clearer in my memory right now, and I can't ever turn that down. So
I think Heath was much better at carrying the ball himself. I think he was much shiftier and much a better receiver and stuff, and I think Prosh was a better pure blocker, man.
Prosh could just hurl his body into oncoming traffic and save you, basically. So, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a question from the Ever to Conquer podcast, which is also available on the Wiggle Radio Network.
Cool.
More excited about Marshall's improvement or wide receiver talent depth?
Well, I guess you got to have both, right? I mean,
well, but if you had to pick one,
I mean, let's say that we put this receiving core out there, and our quarterback, bless his heart, because you got to say that, right, is Jeff Klein.
Oh.
I mean, so which would you be more excited about, that we had all these receivers or that Jeff Klein was throwing to him? I mean, so you kind of got to have both for it to even matter, right? I mean, you could throw Jason Campbell out there, and who's he going to throw it to? You know, he could, I don't know. So
I think, I think all along I've been more excited about Marshall, but I think at this point I'm excited about the receivers, because I just think we got a lot of guys that can do something when they get the ball in their hands. I think for a while we've had a lot of guys who they caught the pass and got tackled, and you know, that was it. And I think we have a lot of guys now who, you know, can get open and make big plays. And when they catch the ball, they can do something with it.
Well, the one player that we've had in the last few years, I mean, you know, T-Zach was fast when he caught it, certainly. Yep. He was kind of an Aroma Shadu clone. Mm-hmm. And Darvin Adams was a solid possession receiver, but not going to do a lot of stuff with the ball once he got it necessarily. But Emory Blake.
Yep.
Emory Blake, and I always felt like we never utilized him as much as we should have. But Emory Blake was a receiver that once he got the ball in his hands, he was very difficult to bring down.
Yep. That's so true. We didn't take advantage of it. But.
No, well, he caught a bad. If he had been the main receiver, you know, when Cam was still the quarterback, it would have been amazing. But he was kind of the third or fourth guy on that team, so.
Mm-hmm. All right. Our next question comes from RC, who's at ClayRob06, and he says, Auburn has been really doing well with the junior college players lately. Who are your top five favorite Auburn junior college players of all time?
Well, Cam and Nick Fairley jump to mind, and Rudy Johnson.
Rudy.
Yeah, that's three.
I think junior college player, I think Rudy is the guy that leaps to.
Well, but I mean, Cam's got a leap to.
Well, I know. But I mean, so
I think those three certainly, right, are the
But
premier.
I mean, also, like, you know, the way, I mean, to me, the difference is like the Cam went to another college and then went to JUCO, and Rudy went straight to JUCO. And so, I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you. And Nick Fairley started out with Auburn, didn't
right,
he?
Same.
And came back.
But
I still think those three, if you're going to say any JUCO at all, those are like the holy trinity of Auburn JUCO guys, right? So, did Ronnie Daniels go JUCO at some point, or did he transfer?
Yeah.
Or
he went to JUCO.
He was a baseball player, and then he went JUCO. Okay. Who else? Who are we forgetting? I mean, those just stand out so much compared to everybody else.
I know we've had a bunch of defensive players went to JUCO that my mind's blanking on right now. That I've seen the minute we stop talking and hang up, I'll think of all of
them.
Yeah,
there have been some safeties and corner type guys we've brought in like that, and yeah, so, well, and I mean, Nick Marshall.
Yes. I mean, Cameron Norris Payne.
Yeah.
But DeKeel Williams may head there. We'll see.
That's right.
I like him right now. All right. Our next question comes from Rusty Owens, who says, do you think that Jay Jacobs should try to fix this issue with the schedule where Georgia and Alabama being the same year? Do you think it limits our ability to be consistently good?
Well, I've said that I don't like it at all for that and a variety of reasons, but I would much prefer playing them in opposite years and then adjust the LSU Texas A&M thing also. I'd like to play like maybe LSU Georgia, Texas A&M Alabama,
I think it's not great from a season ticket holder perspective. But I don't think it's like this is what's going to stop Al Auburn from winning. You know, we've had this thing with the odd year, even year thing, but I don't think this is going to like hold Auburn back. What do you think?
No, it didn't hold us back last year. Of course, we had a sort of a, you know, dream season, but I mean.
Well, but I mean, we had them both at home. I'm saying having them both on the road, or that we knock your brother win the SEC
right,
in those kind of years.
Right. Yeah, of course. Well, I just think it makes it harder. I think having to go on the road and play Georgia and then go on the road and play Alabama is certainly not an easier thing by any means.
Sure. But I mean, it's, And again, like I'm saying, in the years you do that, you don't have to go to Baton Rouge. Yeah. So,
well, that's true, I guess.
All right. I think that's a pretty good question. Our last question comes from frequent question asker Emily Rios.
Yay.
Her question is, given the new scheduling, we've already covered a lot of this, but given the new scheduling rules, who are your dream Auburn versus big conference matchups? And I think we pretty much laid that out there. Oklahoma, Notre Dame.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say a while ago is I would like to see like some more Pac-12, maybe even Big 12. I'm just tired of the ACC, Big East sort of. I know the Big East isn't one of them really, but the whole East Coast thing, I'm just kind of tired of. I'd like to get.
All right. So who in the Pac-12 would you want to play other than Oregon? Who's calling your name out there?
Well, Oregon State would be interesting. Cal would be interesting. I don't know if I want to play Stanford.
Oregon State and Cal suck. I don't want to play them.
Well, if they qualify. Well, I mean, we played Washington State.
Yeah, but I mean, that's okay.
Thank goodness we didn't open with Oregon. We opened with Washington State. We wouldn't have been in the national championship game.
Sure, but I mean, we're talking about who would be really fun to play, not who like who
I
is.
Thought they'd win. Be fun. I mean, well, Stanford, I guess, or
Stanford. I don't know.
Arizona
Stanford, we'd be like playing LSU or Alabama again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In terms of the style, I'd rather play somebody different.
Well, Arizona State or Arizona?
Yeah, Arizona State or Arizona. I mean, Arizona's got the whole Rich Rod thing going on. That could be fun.
What about BYU?
They don't count.
Oh, man. Dang it.
Utah does.
Oh, yeah.
They're in the Pac-12. So, I mean, I don't know how much burning desire I have to play Utah.
But. How did we get in a world where Utah is considered a higher up program than BYU in that state? I mean, that's that doesn't seem right. That's amazing.
Well, I mean, it comes down to Utah is the state school.
Well, they got in the Pac-12. That's the thing. Yeah,
they made the deal.
Hey, what about Colorado? I mean, I know they haven't.
God, they suck so bad.
Well, I mean, they haven't. I know that, but I'm just talking about teams that are interesting that we never play.
Sure.
I mean, Colorado is an interesting team. I look at like how it would look, you know, the matchup and everything. I mean, I sure don't want to play like South Florida or Central Florida anymore. We played them a million times.
They don't count.
Oh, you know who we got to play? Yeah. What? Aren't they in the, they've moved up, haven't they? Isn't Central Florida in the ACC now or something? Or am I crazy?
No.
What are they in?
They're in the revamped Big East, which is the American or whatever.
Oh, whatever. All right. Well, what about Georgia Tech again? We haven't played them in a while.
I mean, I'm always in for that.
Yeah.
We owe them.
We owe Tech, man.
Look, Reggie Ball. Okay. Oh, we owe them. We owe Georgia Tech. And they have a funky offense. It will be a fun series. So
Reggie Ball, slayer of Auburn Tigers. That has to be getting rid of. That has to be washed away.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Listen, all the talent we had on offense, and we didn't do anything in that game.
That's insane. 3 points, people.
Yeah.
We had a team with Jason Campbell, Cadillac Williams, Ronnie Brown, Ben Obamanu, Devin Aroma-Shedu, Courtney,
I think we have
Taylor.
Brandon Jacobs still on that team. Brandon Jacobs was on that team.
And we scored 3 points against Tech. Good gosh. That's got to be the most ridiculous loss in Auburn history. Good gosh. Okay, well.
So, yes, from that, and also from there in Atlanta.
I was at that game. I wanted to jump off the deck.
There will be a lot of fun for the Georgia fans in Atlanta. For the Auburn fans in Atlanta, to be able to go to that game and have a home.
You know, when we played them, it was supposed to be 50-50 split in the Georgia Dome. We talk about this in the book. And
one of the games that never happened.
Yeah, exactly. And that would have been so cool to have half the Georgia Dome full of Auburn people and the other half Georgia Tech and half Auburn people.
While we're on the Georgia Tech, we have to make fun of them for a minute. Did you see their spring game thing? Yes. Did you see what happened?
Like 17 people?
I felt so bad for them. It was a great plan. Their plan was they're going to have their spring game on a Friday night in Atlanta and have a bunch of recruits come and have all the students come and hang out for this game and then go out afterwards, right? Mm-hmm. And the problem was one of those fluky spring days and it started sleeting or whatever. It was miserable weather outside, and there was 114 people came to the spring game.
It was reflective of the Georgia Tech program as a whole right now. I mean, Well, yeah, that was the funny thing, though. The fact that they had to do it on a Friday night to get recruits to come, because they knew that if they had it head-to-head with other, you know, with SEC programs on Saturday, no recruits wouldn't be there. They'd be in Auburn or Tuscaloosa or Clemson or something. They had to.
It was a creative idea.
Yeah, but, man, wow. Yeah, well.
All right. Any thoughts about other SEC team spring games?
I saw about 5 seconds of the Florida game. That's when we talked about last time, where it was very confusing because half the team was wearing orange and blue, and the other half the team was wearing blue and orange, and it just was, I don't know how anybody knew who was on what team.
What did you think about the Lane Kiffin's debut in the Alabama spring game?
Now, see, I didn't see it, but I did hear that while our offense was scoring 53 points or 59 points or whatever, they were 0-0 at the half.
Oh, yes.
Now, of course, they're going to spin that as, we have an awesome defense. And I know it's good, but good grief. Surely you can score something in a half. I mean.
Well, and I believe that they played first-team offense against first-team defense, too.
Yeah, well.
Which we did not. And the other thing is that, you know, they got this quarterback who's transferred in from Florida State who's going to solve all their problems. Okay. Don't believe that.
No, I don't.
Okay? Their offense is going to take a big step backwards.
Yeah. Well, and then they've got, you know, Lane Kiffin. So, I'm sorry. I know he's supposed to be this brilliant quarterback coach, but I'm just not sold yet. He's going to have to show me.
Lane Kiffin's going to be fine. The problem is going to be, you know, the talent drop off at quarterback and a couple other positions isn't going to be the same. You know, they're going to turn into handoff, 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 handoff.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's going to be effective for them. So handoff and play defense.
Not exciting.
No. Nope.
Paleolithic.
But, and the defense is going to be, for them, is going to be good, but it's not going to be the same level as it was, you know, 3 years ago, whatever. So,
well,
all right. I think that about does it.
Yeah. Next week we will maybe take a look at what the quarterback situation is around the league. We will go sort of position by position as far as Auburn this year, and we'll talk about. Well, you know what we got coming up soon?
What?
Our glorious World Cup 2014 preview episode. I realize we're going to lose like 2/3 of our listeners. I just hope they'll come back the next episode. In fact, let me go ahead and make a plea. If you hate soccer, A, I don't understand that pathology, because if you don't like it, fine, don't watch it. Don't have to crap on it for everybody else. But that being said, if you don't like it, fine, skip that episode. Come back the next week, because I'm planning. As soon as I can gather enough information, because I've been a little bit out of the loop a little bit lately, and I want to make sure I'm giving good information, but I want to do a whole episode where we just talk about the World Cup, in addition to Auburn stuff, you know. We'll kind of break down the groups, look at the U.S. chances and all that. So, and John will be squirming the whole time going, no, no, why are we doing this, dear God? So, anything else before we wrap up tonight?
Nope, I think you've about covered it.
And you removed me from the show. All right. It's been a wacky episode. I hope you folks out there got your free dollars worth tonight. All right. Well, our time is up. And as always, we thank you for yours. John, War Eagle.
War Eagle, man.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.